But John chapter 3, we're going to look at something very simple today and just, if I find my notes, if not, it'd be a lot simpler. But John chapter 3, going to call it today simply, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Everything has really kind of worked along that line today. The Lord put on the children's heart to sing when we came in, Jesus, you be lifted high. And I look at everything that's happened today. Man, we've seen a lot about Jesus today. And he's been lifted up. And that's exactly, that's the title. I was this morning, I was studying early, and I had several things I wanted to say and preach. And I kept coming back to this. And so we're just going to lift up the Son of Man today. Because even a number of this size, there could be someone here without Christ that needs to be born again. And if you're already born again, this encourages you, and there's, you'll see in a moment ways that God will strengthen you through this as well. And so I thank God for what he is about to do. So let's go ahead and stand just a moment, if you would, and we're going to read just the first 16 verses here. No shouting, please. No, you can't if you get happy, amen. I was talking to myself because I'm so excited already. I was praying over this, the Lord, would you please subdue me so I don't get emotional and just get in the flesh and hinder you from working. But in John chapter 3 and verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God does say this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's a miracle of God. God moves and the person submits to the Spirit of God. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? I don't get this. How can we be born again? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, Father, help us, please. And ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Father, would you please allow your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bless now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. Great passage here. I look at this verse 15. There's two different applications here regarding the Son of Man being lifted up. And they just stood out to me that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And who is the Son of Man? Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Son. He must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Those that have finally come to understand the reality that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead, Jesus must be lifted up so that it's known that those that believe in him should not perish. So they can make a conscious choice to believe on him and experience eternal life. And also, there are children of God here today that know about the Son of Man. He must be lifted up in our lives so that those that have previously believed on him, not perish like the Bible talks about in Psalm 128, that if the Lord becomes silent, I become like him to go down to the pit, but that they have eternal life. And remember eternal life in John 17:3, that they might know him, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus must be lifted up for salvation. Jesus must be lifted up so those that know him as their Savior really know the Father and the Son in the way that God wants them to. And that'll keep them from perishing in this life under the circumstances we live in. As our brother was reading, many would have looked at the faithfulness of Paul and all the exploits that he did. And why does he not have this blissful, perfect life with no peace? So for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why. And those that have seen Jesus lifted up and they recognize the cross that he carried, they realize that this is part of the life, and they begin to know God. And as they know him, they begin to see the afflictions like Paul did as light. And they're just a moment of time, and there's nothing to be worried about. But the Bible tells us here the answer is that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So I want to turn to Numbers chapter 21 and look at a few things that we see about this story here, and lift up the Son of Man so that every person here can have eternal life. Either you can have it for the new birth that we read about in John chapter 3. You can be born again. That means you become a new creature, no longer in self, but a new creature in Christ. As a creature in Christ, you have new abilities, new strengths. You have God as your heavenly Father. And God in Jesus Christ to live inside of you to accomplish in you what you cannot do in and of yourself. In John chapter 21, or pardon me, Numbers 21, notice what the Word of God says beginning in verse 4. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And they prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." I love that. That is so incredibly, simply supernatural, just like the God who is love would do for a rebellious and unthankful people. Why? To save their life. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, the Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls. We saw it in verse 4. As they journeyed by the Red Sea, from Mount Hor, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. Why? Because of the way, because of the direction they were headed, because of how God was leading them, and so that they could experience the greatest blessing their life had to offer, and they were discouraged in this. And it came, this discouragement brought them to a place where they needed something that was not in themselves. Now, the word discouraged is an interesting word. It means to be disheartened. It means to be deprived of courage. You know, it's amazing. Every person in life goes through this period where they think they can do anything. And then all of a sudden they realize they can only do some things. And then they come to a place where they feel like they can't do anything. And that can lead to discouragement. God allows this to happen so we can see how reality he is. I was talking to a young man the other day. I mentioned, I think last week, 14 years of age. And he affirmed that he thought he was a man. And I said, yeah, when I was your age, I thought I was grown too. And I said, I'd be glad to tell you that I was grown at 14 years of age. But then I began to find out that things happened in my life to dishearten me. Things happened in my life to deprive me of courage. Things happened in my life that caused me to lose confidence in myself. And it also means to be depressed in spirits. It means to be dejected. And there's souls all around us that are in that case. But the Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls. Because he'll give you eternal life. Because that's what he created you for. You're born to know him. You're born to be intimately connected to God. And sin broke that fellowship. Sin allowed that to happen and separated you from God. And because you're separated, you do things that are contrary to your God-given purpose. And you don't live, and you don't think, and I don't live, and I don't think the way that I can, that I'm supposed to, that I was created for. And as I operate in a realm that is not my created purpose, it causes me to be discouraged. And it causes you to be discouraged because that's not what God made you for. God made you to honor him and glorify him and to even live this life that Paul did, to be brought to a point of weakness so you can be lifted up to a point of strength. You know, when you go to a store, if you celebrate a birthday and a holiday, you see these little flat rubber pieces of paper. I mean, flat rubber pieces of paper, that makes sense. Little flat pieces of rubber, and they're laying there with no shape, no form, and it looks like if you scatter them out on the floor, it would look like a bunch of trash in the store. But if you take that piece of rubber and you attach it to this machine and you breathe into it or you put some air into it, it takes shape, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, that little thing that we can construe as trash can be the joy to many people. They think, you ever see a little child with a balloon? Man, one of the best cheap toys you can ever get to your children is balloons. If you're broke and you're trying to find some, do some fun with them, go to Dollarama, buy some balloons. Man, you'll keep them for hours. Man, all kind of games, you know, and do that. If you go buy a $20 toy, if you got a small child and you put it next to a balloon, I guarantee you the balloon is going to get a workover. And that's how our lives are. God made us, and in and of ourselves, we're that piece of rubber that has no shape, no form, no vision. But when the Holy Ghost breathes inside of us, all of a sudden we have distinction. Different balloons have even different shapes. You see them looking around, I wonder what that would be. And the heart shape and long. And all of a sudden that air comes in and causes it to shape and to be something else. And there, but without that air, it just lays there. It just lays there. And like many discouraged souls, they feel like their life is going nowhere. But Jesus is the answer to that. And he must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls. That whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number two, the Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to those that speak against God. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to those that speak against God. Now we read the verse. Well, we see here in verse 4. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? People say things to God like, why did you make me if my life is going to be like this? They're speaking against God, but Jesus is the answer. We read in John chapter 3, verse number 17, that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, Jesus is not used as a condemning tool, but he's used as the answer to those that speak against God. And we lift him up as the answer to, you know, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, my brother was saying about these people speaking, even against the atheists speaking against them, they're discouraged. They have this hatred and this anger, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't understand their own existence. But Jesus, lifted up as the answer, is their answer for those that speak against God. What a marvelous, wonderful plan it is that God has for everything. And just like these people in the wilderness, their souls were discouraged. Even children of God, God's people, because of the way that God wants you to live, sometimes there can be discouragement until you see Jesus lifted up and then you realize, wow, that's the answer. That's the light. That's the darkness. That would overshadow the darkness. And the Son of Man must be lifted up as he answers to those that speak against God. Hold your place here. Turn to Romans just for a moment. We'll come back to Numbers 21. Romans chapter 5. Notice what the Word of God says here. Romans chapter 5. My favorite passage of Scripture, one of them. In Romans 5 and in verse 1, the Word of God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Every time I read that, I think, yes, thank the Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were speaking against God, while we were criticizing that he brought us in this situation, in this life, and why did he not to die, as we see? Why did God make me to live like this? He said, no, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we're speaking against him, he died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The very one we speak against will be saved by wrath by him. God says, I know they're speaking against me, but I'm going to rescue them by cutting off part of my own self. Separating himself from his son that he'd been connected to from eternity past. I allow him to be butchered and slain and lifted up so they know that I love them. And even though they speak against me, my goal, my desire has not changed from the moment I created them. I made them to know me. And as long as there's breath in them, I'm going to work to that end. And he says, verse 10, for if when we were the enemies of, we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, God is so faithful and he's so good that he lifted up his own son, that now through his death he died in our place. We can be freed from death, but now being much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by the life, by that resurrection power that brought Christ out of the grave. We can actually fulfill our intended purpose, which is to know God like as he is. And what a marvelous thing that is. Back to our text. So we see, number one, the Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to those that speak against God. Number three, the Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to the death caused by man's sin. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to the death caused by man's sin. Now we see in verse 5, they spake against God. At verse 16, the Lord set fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, God is killing us. God is harming us. Is that what the Bible says? No, they didn't say that. They didn't blame God for a thing. They said, we're dying because we're sinners. They said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the fiery serpents from us. They knew that their sin was the reason they were dying. They understood that. And they went to Moses, the man of God, find us an answer. Have mercy. Pray to God that we'll not die. And when you and I come to the grips with the reality that our condemnation, the hell that we're headed toward, is not God's fault, but it's our own sin. Jesus must be lifted up as the answer to that. And we preach Christ so this lost and dying world doesn't just feel bad and wallow in their sinful condition, but they realize that God made an answer for that sin. God never planned for them to die eternally. He planned to rescue them. Again, his eternal plan was to know them. And when you come to grips with that and the reality of that sin, Jesus is lifted up as the answer to the death that you're facing because of your sin. You know, one of the children are a great blessing. But one of the most heart-wrenching times is when your child goes from that period of pure innocence and they just love life. And then you begin to see the sin nature come out. And then you begin to see them come into their own. And then you begin to see death written all over your child because you see the sin. It's one of the things you can do. You say, man, I'm not having no more kids. You can say, oh no, this is hopeless. Or you can do what the Bible says, you can just lift up the Son of Man and let them know that that death they're experiencing, that lack of peace they're experiencing, that discouragement that they're experiencing, that lack of confidence, all of those things, that lack of that unrest, that pointlessness that they see, there's an answer for that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can watch them just as I watched when I was a youth pastor. I watched young person after young person try this and that to try to free themselves from discouragement. I watched young person after young person try this and that, and I saw many of them speak against God even. And I saw many of them as they began to come to grips with the reality that they knew they were sinners. And they knew their sin was a problem. But many of them die right there. Some die physically, and some die day after day after day living in sin that they are convinced they can never, ever get out of. Living in sin that they've tried again and again to stop. Living in sin, they've tried again and again to get victory over. Living in sin and think, well, this is just the way that I am. Everything under the sun. Until one day, somebody comes along and says, the Son of Man is the answer to the death that you're living that is caused by your own sin. Jesus knows your own sin. And he came to you in the person of his Son, not to condemn you, not for you to stay in that sin and make it a condition, like the world says for most sins today. Everything is a condition. No, it's sin. Because Jesus is the answer for sin. And you can see by the power of the Word of God that death you're living, you can be freed from it by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he must be lifted up. That's why Satan tries to do so many things to confuse people. That's why prayerism is so popular. Just say a prayer and everything will be okay. No, you got to be saved. We read it. You must be born again. A supernatural birth has to happen. You can't reform enough. As my brother read, you can't work enough. There are no good works. Ye must be born again. And that takes place when a person recognizes that sin condition. And just like these people that came to Moses and said, we have sinned. stop it somehow. And God says Jesus can stop it through the word of God in verses like John 3:16. And then you see that. And if you just look to him, you look to Jesus. Amen. It's that simple. Because you're heading your own way and somebody says, hey, there's a serpent on a pole. There's a Savior on the cross that died in your place. If you'll just look to him, believing that your glance toward him is the answer to that sin within you that nothing can get rid of, he'll save you in an instant. And he'll do that. And he's the answer to that sin. And you can have that new birth. And it's much better than reincarnation, bless God. You'll be a new creature. And you'll no longer be operating by the power of the flesh. But you'll be operating by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is that same Spirit that looked upon the face of nothing that was on the earth and moved upon the waters. And all of a sudden, the miracles that we see in created beings and animals and everything we see is by the power of the Spirit of God. That same Spirit can take a person with no self-control to give them self-control. That same Spirit can take a person that all their thoughts are revolving around sin. He can have their thoughts to revolve around Christ. That same Holy Spirit can take a person that sees no way, all of a sudden they can see the truth, the way, and the life. And they see, wow. And they begin to see that the life that they're living, that they thought was a dead-end street, just to pay bills, make money, and buy stuff, they see now a life of endless possibilities. You know, I love serving God. I was in Walmart just the other day behind a few things, and I do this thing. I kind of joke with people. I guess, you know, I like to talk, but you've probably figured that out. But you'll be there, and they'll put like the bar down to separate your things, you know. And I tell this lady in front of me, she's having a bad day, and she put her bar down, and I said, oh, I guess that means you're not buying my stuff today. And she said, oh, no, not today. She was having a bad day. And so she's getting ready to leave, and I tried to pay for her stuff, you know, and she's kind of aggressive. She bumped me. You know, I can't let you do that. And I bumped her right back. And I said, yeah, I'm going to pay for this. I'm trying to hand to a clerk, but the clerk is confused. They don't know what to do, whether to listen to me or listen to her, you know. And the lady, she didn't let me buy the thing, but the good news was I said, ma'am, I just have to tell you. I said, when I was 25, God made me a giver. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He changed. I used to be so unrestful. I used to fight. And I gave the whole list of everything I used to do in short form. And the woman just teared up and she said, God bless you, sir. And there's a Muslim lady there checking me out. And even she was listening and started smiling, thinking, wow. And all I do, and who knows which one of them I'll see in heaven one day, just because of being able to lift up the Son of Man. But you know, there's people in this room right now, I believe that this is your testimony. Discouragement. You're like verse 7 here. We have sinned. You know you sinned. You don't want to be in sin. And you've yet to find an answer. And God brought you today to say it's just one answer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart is to lift him up to you in such a way that you think of how simple we just read. People were bitten by a snake and they knew they were walking dead people. Do you understand that? Do you understand what happened here? They were bit by the serpent and they knew that the moment they were bit, they were walking dead people. And they came to Moses, what should we do? And God told him, well, make this serpent, put him on a pole. And Moses said, I know you know you're dying. Those of you that know you're dying, if you just look to that pole, I'll change you from death unto life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he says there's an answer for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross for you to suffer death in your place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you know you're that walking death sentence today, you know that your life is a walking discouragement. You know you've never experienced that life. Jesus says to you today, believe on me. The Father says to you today, believe on his Son. And you say, well, but I prayed before. No, but did you believe? Oh, and you and God know. You and God know. Those of you that heard my testimony, I prayed I don't know how many times. And then was baptized twice, but that one day, I knew. I knew that the Son of Man who lifted up, he was all I needed. Because many times I was praying, I would just say, Lord, would you fix my earthly situation? Many times I was calling on God, well, Lord, would you make my life better? Lord, would you make this situation work out, you know? But that day in 1993, I was turning to the Son of Man on the pole for one reason, to save me from the death that was caused by my sin. And God did his part. He saved me. And just like the people that were bitten by the serpents in the wilderness, they looked up on the pole and God did his part. He took the sting of death away. And just in a moment, those people that were dying, I mean, I can only imagine some of them, you know, probably so stricken and they're falling to the ground. And somebody said, there's a serpent on the pole. And then they just turned and like, wait a minute. I can breathe. I can breathe. I can get up. I can walk. And all of a sudden, they were alive again. They saw somebody. You know what they did? They went to the next person that was dying. They said, there's a serpent on the pole. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. I know you tried just about everything and you wondered what you could do and you thought your life was over. You thought it was hopeless. But there's a serpent on the pole. If you just look to him, you'll live. Jesus will save you that same way. That's the message that we preach. Last of all, and this is, we don't have to spend much time here because it's really the same. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the direction that everyone that has sinned must look. Because in verse number 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass. Notice this, that every one that is bitten, not some that is bitten, but everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So no matter what your sin past is, it doesn't matter how bad you think you are. It doesn't matter how you think you've done whatever. Everyone. Jesus will save everyone that looks to him for that salvation. That turns to look to the way. To rescue them from their own way. Jesus will save them at that instant. And you will experience what Jesus was teaching in Nicodemus. The new birth in Christ. And you will have the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of you to confirm to you that you belong to the Heavenly Father. And when that voice is spoken to you, nothing will be able to shake that. Because that is a comfort unlike anything else this world can ever give. Because there's nothing like when you know you're His. Doesn't mean you be perfect, but you'll know that you have Christ living in you. You'll know that God is your Father. And you'll know that you've been freed from the bondage of sin. And you'll know that you don't have to live in sin because he that is dead is freed from sin. The Son of Man must be lifted up as the answer to discouraged souls, because people are discouraged all around us. You know, people do all kinds of things to themselves because they're discouraged. We could go down the list, but we all live in a world, you know what the list is. In fact, you know what your own list is. Sometimes if you're not saved, what you do to try to comfort yourself in your discouragement. And if you are saved, you know what sometimes if you get away from God, what you do to try to comfort yourself in discouragement. And God comes to you the same way. He says, it's just Jesus to turn back. See, the lost turn for the first time for salvation. Jesus speaks to those that know him, just turn back. Don't be discouraged. Even if you've spoken against God, Jesus is the answer. Think how loving God is to pursue you and me, even when we speak against him. I've never verbally said, I've never talked to God like, but you know what, my life sure has, and my heart sure has. My unthankfulness, my ingratitude, it sure has. When somebody just came along and said, look, you can live again. Look and live. It's that simple. And then, if you're without Christ today, I really believe God has revealed it to you in a very real way. And he would like this to be the day that you no longer have to wonder whether or not you're a child of God or not. All you have to do is, if you believe the gospel, that God touched your heart, you know it. Don't fight it anymore. Just say, Father, today I want to look to Jesus Christ as the answer for my sin. Not anything else but him. Not Jesus. Plus, I got to do these commandments. No, you remember, if God spoke to your heart, you've already tried that. You've tried everything you could do to fix your life. You tried Jesus plus some things. If God spoke to you, you realize all the things you've tried plus Jesus, with Jesus or without Jesus. God's being real to you today so you can be rescued from that. And he would say, no, it's just me. Just, there was only one serpent on the pole. There wasn't several around, there was one. He said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Today, if God has touched your heart and you know you're lost, would you turn and believe on Christ as the answer to your discouragement? The answer to a sin-cursed soul? If you do, you'll be glad you did. If you are saved today, maybe your eyes are just a little bit off Jesus today. And by the you might be okay by now, but the way we started the service, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But if just by chance you're not, would you just turn back today? Would you remember that God's given you a life so you can lift up Jesus to help some other discouraged soul? God's given you a life so you can lift up Jesus to help somebody else that has spoken against God like you have before. That's what God works through, even our failures. And God wants to work for you to use your life for those that do not think, those that think they're so far away that God can't reach them. There's somebody around that's similar circumstances like you that God has put you around them that you can identify with so you can tell them, so you can lift Jesus up and they can realize he's the way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness today. Lord, we thank you for a tremendous time. We thank you for these precious people that came out in the cold weather today, Lord. And thank God for a warm place to meet and just to be with people that love God. God, I really believe you've spoken to every hearer in this room. And I just simply ask, would you please give them the faith to trust you and to follow your leadership from this point right now? For those of you...